This April the 22nd picks edition of the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com. Use our promo code MLBSGPN to get a 100% deposit match. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, coming to you from Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. Today is Sunday, the 21st of April, and we are here to have a look around a new week on the diamond, starting Monday 22nd. Joining me is, fresh from his big screen appearance, Mr. Lonte Smith. Lonte, how are you doing?
Pretty good, man. Sweating out. Just hopefully the Mariners can get out of this this jam that they're in right now. Yeah,
that's an ugly sweat, that one.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, other than that, man, I'm doing pretty good. Excited about the new matchups we got for the week. I like a lot on the card. So yeah, man, looking forward to getting to it with you.
The Mariners are going to blow this, Lonte, by the way. So, don't want to be the bearer of bad news. I've seen some baseball this weekend. I've had a busy week. I had a job last night. The boy had a cup final to play yesterday. And obviously there was loads of Premier League and FA Cup this weekend. There was nearly an all-timer in the FA Cup today. Nearly one of the greatest days ever, but it didn't quite happen. So I haven't seen as much baseball. But Friday night, me and Scott did the show. I struggled last week, Lonte. I'd, like, every morning when I checked out what I'd been doing, I was 6-8, 7-8, 6-9. I just couldn't get ahead. I was 2 or 3 games behind every single day. But then Friday, we hit quite a lot of dogs. I think we hit Washington, we hit the Mets, somebody else cashed. So we got through some underdogs on Friday night. Me and Scott did okay. So hopefully, I need a new week. I need a new broom to sweep all this clean. So we'll get that done tonight. The chat is live and kicking. Ryan was first in. Svee says he's skint, so we need to pick some winners, right? We'll sort that out, Svee. We'll start with... Let's have a look. Trying to think if there's any news and notes, really, but there hasn't. We can come to them. Come to the pitching injuries and things like that when we get there. So we'll go to the top of the board, which is a 1:05 Eastern first pitch. A little bit of day ball for me tomorrow, which is a nice touch. The Oakland Athletics at the New York Yankees. Left-handed pitcher, JPCS for Oakland. And also a lefty, Carlos Rodon for the Yankees. Plus 200 on the A's. Minus 245 on the Yankees. And the total is set at 8. Lonte, you can lead us off with the A's at the Yankees.
Yeah, nothing too profound here. I just think it's going to be a good spot for the Yankees to kind of get right offensively. Rodon, 4 earned runs in his last start, pretty much his worst outing of the season. He had 101 pitches to get 12 out, so that wasn't as efficient as he would like to be. But, you know, you're facing the Oakland lineup, who isn't the best. I think that's putting it, like, mildly. But the Yankees, they've won 4 or 5 against Oakland. Outscored them 43-14 in that span. They scored double digits in all 4 games. I think 10, 11, and 10 and 11 are the scores that they had, or other the runs that they had in those matchups. They haven't been playing well at home, Al. I mean, they're after today's win, I think they're maybe a game over 500. But again, I think with Sears coming in, who hasn't been as bad. I mean, his first few starts, he allowed 9 earned runs. He settled down in his last 2, only allowed 1. But I do think that this will be a tough matchup for him. The Yankees usually hit lefty pretty well. So I think the Yankees are primed for a good spot here to break out offensively. I'm probably going to take the team total over for the Yankees whenever it comes out. But I will play the Yankees on the run line as well.
Yeah, you see, yeah, Oakland aren't the best team. They're not the worst. Oakland are above Houston in the rankings at the minute. We're going to get to Houston in a little bit. Yeah. But they got humped again tonight off Washington. I like both pitchers here. And I've really enjoyed watching Oakland be a little bit more competitive. It's much more fun than watching sort of what the White Sox are doing, etc. And JBCS isn't terrible. Rodon, I don't mind. I like both pitchers. But the Yankees aren't scoring loads of runs, 95 runs in their 21 games, so four and a little bit. I quite like the under here because it just gives you a couple of options, which is Sears goes okay. And even if he doesn't, I don't think Oakland will contribute that many behind against Rodon either. So we can easily see a 5-1, 6-1 kind of win on a chilly afternoon in New York. 8 was just a hair too high for me. So I'll take the under on that one. Next game is here, 6:40, Eastern first pitch. The Philadelphia Phillies at the Cincinnati Reds. Left-handed pitcher, Ranger Suarez going for the Phillies. And Hunter Green draws the start for Cincinnati. -125 for the Phillies, +105 for the Reds, with a total here of 9. Ranger Suarez has been great, really good. 3-0 record with a 1.73 ERA. His last 15 innings have gone scoreless against Pittsburgh and Colorado. And really good control, is that's something that Suarez isn't necessarily known for. And I think he'll be okay here. Hunter Green has an 0-1 record with a 4.35 ERA. It was one start against the Brewers where two homers cost him. And other than that, he's been absolutely fine as well. He struck out 6, 7, 8, and 9 in his 4 appearances. Philly ranked 18th in strikeouts. So maybe a K prop, if you can see, maybe over six and a half for Hunter Green. Philly did have a really nice schedule last week. They were pretty much in auto play in the Survivor contests, Philly. They beat Colorado, and I can't remember. They had another fairly soft home series. Is it the White Sox they had, actually?
White Sox, yeah.
Yeah. So they had a soft home series, and they took advantage of that to win 6 in a row. But it gets tougher here. It gets tougher against Cincinnati. Cincinnati are a good team. I like Hunter Green, and I'm not sure Suarez can keep this up. He's going to give some runs up. It's close. I'll take Cincinnati, though. Money line play +105, Lanty.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the over as well. I usually like to play, you know, against pitchers who are coming off either like complete game shutouts or like no hitters. And Ranger Suarez is coming off that complete game shutout, no earned runs in his last 15 innings pitched. He allowed 2 in his last 21. But I think Cincinnati's offense is different. You know, he's had I guess he had the benefit of going against, you know, some softer offenses, and Cincinnati has actually beat them in a series this year. At the beginning of the month, they won 2 out of 3. And both of those games went over, the games that they won. So I think they had a good series versus the Angels, who were playing well coming into that series. Offense looked good. They scored 7-plus runs in back-to-back games. Hunter Green, I'm kind of worried. I don't know if he can give you a lot of length. I mean, I don't know if he got pulled or he just they got him on a pitch count or whatever the case may be, but only 4 innings pitched in his last start. So he has been, like, striking guys out, like you said, 8-plus Ks in his back-to-back games. But I think Cincinnati is a good play here. I like the over. It just fits all the things that I like to play on when I'm going against a pitcher who's coming off a shutout and also coming against – you mentioned it going against a team who's playing 2 soft opponents back-to-back, and now they're getting an uptick in offense and a better team. So I like Cincinnati at home as well, and I do like the over.
There's a little bit of chats from Captain Insano, who's joined us, Trev, talking about the commentator retired, didn't he? Is it John Sterling retired? And Captain Insano has thrown a bit of shade on my mate, Susan. I like Susan, remember, because she gives the out-of-town scores. And when I'm lying in bed, half asleep, I don't know what the scores are. And she, more than anyone else, any other announcer, she keeps me up to date with all the scores. So don't knock Susan. I have got a problem with... do you ever listen to the radio calls along to you at all? Are you mainly like on the TV or whatever?
Yeah, I'm mostly just watching like MLB beginning. So they split up all the games and kind of give you like a roundabout. So yeah, I'm most of the time watching that, unless it's like a game that I want to be, you know, really, really dialed in on. But other time than that, I'm mostly just watching.
I don't know if anyone here in the chat can back me up, because I listen to loads either when I'm out and about, but mainly when I'm in bed. So I put a headphone in and I listen to something. It's a great thing to send you off, because it's normally a couple of men or a man and a woman, and it's quite nice and low and gentle. You know how baseball is, the rhythm and the cadence and the sound of it. But when they cut to the ad breaks, I don't get the ad breaks in this country. I must be geolocated out. And what they have is background crowd noise, but really loud. So I'm just lying, dropping off to sleep as if someone hits a soft grounder, and they'll go. And then I just see how this... it's like being in Guantanamo Bay, Lonte. Like, it's like a sleep deprivation exercise. Like, it's absolutely horrendous. And the amount of times in the last... This is why I've got bags under my eyes, I think. For the last 4 weeks, the amount of times I've jumped out of bed 6 foot, because they put this awful noise on, and it's 10 times louder than... the commentators, it's horrendous. I need to write an email to somebody. Like, it's absolutely unbearable. It's totally unnecessary. And I think, remember last year, they had that MLB Zen thing, which was really nice, quiet. They'd have someone, like, raking the sand or something, which is great. I go to sleep to that. But this, honestly, it's a proper assault on the senses. Like, it's horrific, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't get that. I just they switch the games up once they go, you know, in between innings, or if they're changing pitches or whatever the case may be, they just switch it to another game and kind of switch back. So yeah, and you need to invest in MLB beginning, man. It's a good investment.
Well, I think the other option I've got is, because I have MLB TV, is just to put the TV on my phone and just listen to it, because obviously I'm only listening. And they'll have they don't have that awful noise, or I don't know if they do. They actually just have either a blank screen. So TVDBG knows. I'm pleased someone else backs me up, because I thought I was going mad. It's sending me genuinely crackers. Like, but listening to the TV call might be my best option as well. Right, anyway, sorry we went off track. Let's get back to 6:40 Eastern first pitch. The Milwaukee Brewers at the Pittsburgh Pirates. There's Joe Ross for the Brewers and Jared Jones for Pittsburgh. Plus 110 for Milwaukee, minus 130 for the Pirates, and a total of 8.5. You just mentioned Hunter Green and pitch counts. We need to talk about Jared Jones here for the Pirates. First of all, he's been absolutely amazing. But last week against the Mets, Lonte, he pitched 5 innings of 1-hit ball, was pulled after 59 pitches. 59 pitches. That was it. He was only going 5 innings. He was only allowed to go 5 innings. But 59 pitches. Do you know how many of those pitches he threw for strikes, Lonte?
42,
let's have a bit of trivia.
42.
How many?
42.
50 it was.
Damn.
50 of 59 pitches. He threw for strikes. 1-hit ball, pulled. They lost the game. That's beyond my pay grade. I don't know whether that's right or wrong. I don't know. With all these pitchers going to the IL with their arms falling off, they might just be doing the right thing. But he's been absolutely fantastic. Joe Ross has been fine for the Brewers, 1-1. He got beat up last time at the Padres. But that was 6 earned runs on 9 hits. It's not like he pitched badly. I just think he ran into a little bit of bad luck. Just slightly unfortunate there. And I really liked his two previous starts. Pittsburgh have really struggled. They've lost 5 in a row. And they haven't been good. They just haven't been good at all. I like Jones. The Brewers. Did the Brewers win again tonight?
They did.
Yeah, the Brewers.
They did. 2-0, I think. Tonight.
Yep. Yeah, low scoring game. I'll take a first 5 under here, because I think Jones is going to go really well. But I like Joe Ross, and I'm out on Pittsburgh. So we'd see a slow burner here. Wouldn't surprise me if the Brewers win a similar game than they won tonight against the Cardinals. But under for the first 5, Lunty.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I probably, in that 5-game winning streak, I probably bet on the Brewers. I mean, bet on the Pirates like 4 times. I was on them all weekend, and they just couldn't do anything against the White Sox. I mean, the Red Sox. They couldn't do anything. And I'm going to say they had leads in like two or three of the games, and they just kind of couldn't get it going offensively. But you mentioned it. I think we see a low-scoring game, and Milwaukee's shown that they're able to win both low scoring games and their off when their offense is humming, they can just win those shootouts as well. I think they scored 11 the game before last night, the game before tonight or today, and then they win 2-0 today, and I think the game before that they won 2-1. So really versatile lineup for the Brewers. I mean, they're 9-2 on the road. They won 7 of their last 10. They're also 8-3 on the run line on the road, man. So they're getting it done with margin. So I like. I mean, Ross is fine. I mean, I think he'll bounce back from, like you mentioned, his last start where he allowed 6 to San Diego. I think it was a bit of a bad spot. I thought his pitches were okay. He just kind of, you know, just like San Diego was on that night and just nothing they could do. So I'm going to go with the first 5 under with you. I think both pitchers will be able to kind of limit some of the damage early on. And I'm going to go with the Brewers on the money line. I think they'll get it done. Pittsburgh, I got to see it to kind of believe it. I mean, the offense has hit a wall. 2 earned runs or less in their last 4 games. They lost 8 of 10 and a cool down after that start. I do like Jared Jones, but I don't know if he'll have the offense to support, you know, how good he's going to look against the Brewers.
Plus money price for the Brewers is quite appealing here, Lonnie. I completely agree with you. We will move on once I've told you first about NFL Draft Week. This week, the Sports Gambling Podcast got you covered. NFL Draft Props, Mock Drafts, and the NFL Draft Watch Party. Tune in on Thursday night on the Sports Gambling Podcast YouTube page. Hang out with the guys for the best NFL Draft Watch Party out there. Underdog Fantasy, the NBA playoffs, the hockey playoffs are going. It's all kicking off. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to get involved there. You can play higher or lower on all of your NBA picks. Get across to Lonnie is the NBA man here. You can mix and match across the sports. You can throw in some hockey, baseball, football, props, soccer. Available in 30 states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. Win up to 100 times your money, and it's loads of fun as well. Make sure to sign up with our code MLBSGPN. Underdog, double your first deposit up to $100. Underdog Fantasy, promo code MLBSGPN. Next game on the card. 6:50 Eastern. First pitch, Detroit Tigers at the Tampa Bay Rays. Left-handed pitcher, Tarek Skubal for the Tigers. And Zach Little, still haven't decided, will go for the Rays. -120, the Tigers. Even money, the Rays. Total 7.5. Lonte, you've got the Tigers at the Rays.
Yeah, man, this is it was a tough game for me, but I ultimately going to go with the Rays because I don't think they should be. They're an underdog, right?
The Rays are even money, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they should be, especially not at home. I don't think they should be an underdog. I know Skubal's been good, but this is going to be his first, like, real road start, you know, not counting the White Sox in the opener because, you know, the White Sox are pretty much like a double-A team. But Skubal, he's been pitching well, 2 earned runs or less in 3 of his 4 starts. He has been going the distance, like 6-plus innings in 3 of his 4 starts. But again, this offense, I think, is going to be a step up in class from what he's been facing. I mean, Tampa won 6 of the last 10. Their offense has been struggling in the last few games, but I think they can get back on track at home. Littell, he's allowed a solid amount of contact, so he kind of wants to limit that. But the Tigers offensively don't really scare me, so I don't think they'll be able to get a ton of runs here. So I'm expecting a low-scoring game. I think Littell, 1 earned run or less in 3 of his 4 starts despite allowing a lot of contact. So give me the home dog, man. I think Tampa Bay is the right side, and I also think that the under is a good play as well because both pitchers are going to pitch well. I would go first 5 under and full game under. Maybe we see like a 2-1, 3-1 type of game.
The first thing you mentioned there, Lonnie, was the prices. And when I handicapped these games earlier, I hadn't seen them. And my last note is the Tigers are good on the road, 7-3. Yep. And there might be a nice price here. I thought they'd be bigger. I thought they'd be the dog. I thought they'd be +105, +110. Right. So my pick was the Tigers. The price tempers that a little bit for me. But neither offense is full of runs. And that's why I thought Detroit would be live because I thought they might. I'd prefer to take the bigger price here. So yeah, this would be further down my account. But I do think Detroit could touch them off, and it will be a low scoring game. I like Skubal, I like Littell, but Tampa Bay still haven't really got it going with the bat. They're okay, but I think they're 7-7 at home, so they're beatable. Yeah, I'll take Detroit, but not with any huge amount. of confidence. Are we going to the top of the page yet? No, we're not. 7:20 Eastern first pitch is the Marlins at the Braves. I had nothing on this one, Lonte, because I hadn't seen a Braves pitcher until right now. Left-handed pitcher Ryan Weathers for Miami. And it will be Ronaldo Lopez for Atlanta. I haven't seen any lines or anything, so this was way down my list. I've got nothing for this. You have anything for the Marlins at the Braves? I mean, instinctively, it's a Braves run line, so it's probably easier not to handicap.
Yeah,
because
it's not, not feeling, much. I mean, and they got the Braves got the best of the Marlins in a series like last week. They won 2-1, outscored Miami 18-13. I thought Miami played as good as they could, and they still came out came up short. So, I mean, Atlanta's covered 6 of the last 10 run lines, 9-2 at home, 8-2 in the last 10. They're rolling right now. Not something I want to get in front of, especially with Lopez on the mound. Lopez has been outstanding, man. You can make a case that he's been their best pitcher. One earned run allowed in 3 starts, 6 innings pitched in all 4 of his starts. No more than he hasn't even allowed more than 4 hits, Mal. So you maybe want to look at a Marlins team total under and maybe a Lopez total runs under, like total runs allowed under as well. I don't think he gives up a lot to this Marlins offense because they've been pedestrian. They struggle on the road, so it'll be a lot of Ronaldo Lopez props and Braves run line for me.
Holy shit, the Marlins were a great bet tonight, by the way. +140 with Edward Cabrera taking on Kyle Hendricks. What an incredible price. I mean, not many times I'm going to be looking at the Marlins. Well, that was a great bet tonight.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely jumped off the page a mile when I looked at that one. Next up is the 7:40 Eastern first pitch. It is the Toronto Blue Jays and the Kansas City Royals. You say Kikuchi for the Blue Jays, and Brady Singer goes for Kansas City. -110 each of 2. It is a match on the books with a total of 8. We saw the Cole Reagans blow up. Was that last night or the night before? I think it was last night.
Yeah, last night versus Burns. Yep.
Yeah.
That was a bad price. 120 for Burns. I mean, I know the Royals have been playing well, but you can't give me 120 with Burns and that offense. Yeah. You can't do it. I don't care how good he's. I don't care how good they're playing.
It was done pretty quick, that one. Yeah. How do you split Kikuchi and Singer tomorrow, aren't you?
Well, I think it's a good bounce back spot for Kansas City. But again, I was against two of the things that I got wrong this weekend, Mal. I was against the Blue Jays versus the Padres. Hopefully they get it done tonight because I'm on them again. I think they were up 4-3 the last I checked. But they won the first 2 games. And so I got that one wrong. And I got the Red Sox, betting against the Red Sox. I got them wrong as well. So I'm hoping that we can get back on track. But I think the Royals can also get back on track here at home. 9-3 at home. Well, 9-4 after the loss today. The offense of Toronto is kind of hit or miss. They're .500 on the road. They look good versus San Diego, but again, I don't think that San Diego is that much of a. I mean, let's say they're not a bad team, but I don't think they're anywhere near as good as what the Royals have been playing right now. Now, maybe at the end of the season, that'll come into fruition. But right now, I think the Royals are the better team. They've won 6 of the last 11. On the run line, Mal, at home, they are 8-4, 5-2 when they're favored. So they're covering run lines. And I like the under. Kikuchi's been pitching well. 2 earned runs combined allowed in his last 3 starts. No more than 4 hits allowed in his last 3. Singer's been going well also. 2 earned runs or less in every start that he's made. Although this will be a step up in class for him offensively. He played Chicago twice and then Minnesota. Both not good offenses compared to what he's going to face in Toronto. But Toronto, like I said, they haven't been lighting the world on fire with their offense. But Singer did shut down Houston. And I don't know if that's a good or bad thing with how Houston's been playing. But I guess you got to mention it. But one thing he has to get better with is keeping the ball in the park. He's allowed a home run in 3 straight starts. So I think we see a low-scoring game here, Mal. I think the Royals, with Singer on the mound, can get to Kikuchi. The under is 4-1 in their last 5 meetings. Toronto is under in 7 of their last 10. KC is .500 to the under on the season. So I think we see another low-scoring game, Mal. I'm going with the Royals and the under.
Yeah, a couple of things that swung this for me. The Blue Jays are going along quite well, 7-3, like you say, in the last 10. But they're not scoring loads of runs, and Singer's been great. Kansas City being brilliant at home, as you point out. So the two bets I would like, I'd either take Kansas City on the money line or the Blue Jays team total under, which I'm guessing is 4. Maybe we get a push at 4, something like that. But yeah, I agree with the low scoring game. But I don't think you can go against Kansas City the way they've been playing at home. Especially the Blue Jays team is so hard to trust, incredibly hard to trust, and will continue to be so, I think. 7:40 Eastern first pitch is the Chicago White Sox at the Minnesota Twins. It's Jonathan Cannon for the Chicago White Sox. The Minnesota Twins have Chris Paddock on the mound. The price is +150 on the White Sox, -180 on the Twins, with a total of 8.5. It looks screams runs, doesn't it? The first thing you look at it, or certainly fading the White Sox, and Cannon does. The White Sox now have 3 wins in the bank. But Cannon pitched okay against the Royals last time. Not a familiar name, not something I know loads about. I didn't see him pitch. He went 5 innings, gave up 3 hits in a game that they lost 4-2. So it looks a fairly standard kind of thing. Chris Paddock's the fly in the ointment here for me. He's on really thin ice with me. I'm struggling a little bit with him. He gave up 9 home runs at Baltimore last time, and there's not much to recommend him. The only problem with the Twins is there's nothing much to recommend them either. They're so boring. They might be the most boring team in MLB. At least you can have a laugh at the White Sox, and the Athletics are a little bit scrappy. The Twins are just dull as ditch water. 66 runs they've scored in 19 games. If Cannon pitches well, now, I understand, right, that the White Sox were no hit for 7 innings about 3 nights ago, and that they were no hit for 8 innings last night or the night before. I fully understand that. But if Cannon can pitch well here, Paddock's all over the place. Chicago White Sox first 5, Lonte, is going to be my play. Should be a decent price, +130, +140, something like that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the under here. Unless you think that, you know, the Twins are going to explode offensively, which they haven't.
Why would they? They haven't got an explosion.
That's what I'm saying. They haven't been. Yeah, they've been struggling over the last few weeks. 4-6 in the last 10. They're actually better on the road. They're 2-5 at home. 5 out of 7 games at home have went under. They're 28th in hits, and we know the White Sox have the worst offense in the MLB. They're 30th in batting average. I think they're batting under 200 as a team, which is like horrible. They scored two runs or less in 4 of the last 5. They're 1-5 on the road. So I think Paddock's going to bounce back here, which supports your first 5, because I think it can be, you know, maybe 1-0, 0-0, and if you get that plus a half, I think you can cash with the White Sox, because Paddock, he pitched well at home when he faced the Dodgers. So his hiccups have came on the road. He has allowed a solid amount of contact, but again, I don't know who's going to hit him in that White Sox lineup. So I'm going to go with the first 5 under, and I'm also going to go with Paddock over his K's. I think he's going to have a good, solid bounce-back outing against the trash offense of the White Sox.
Okay, you're giving Paddock a little bit more credit than I am there, Lonte. That's fair.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I'm giving more credit to the trash that is the White Sox offense than I am Paddock. It's kind of a mix. It's like a 60-40.
Fair enough. Next up, 7:45 Eastern, the Arizona Diamondbacks at the St. Louis Cardinals. Brandon Fart going for Arizona, and Lance Lynn is on the mound for the Cardinals. This one's tight on the books as well. -105 for the D-backs, -115 for St. Louis, with a total here of 8.5. Brandon Fart was better last time. Hasn't had the greatest start of the season. 3 of his 4 starts have been at home. And his 1 road start wasn't very good, but it was at Atlanta. So you can kind of forgive him if you're that way inclined. He did see St. Louis on the 12th of April. 6 innings pitched, gave up 6 earned. 2 of those were homers. Lance Lynn has been okay. He had 1 wobbly start, but he has held the Dodgers and the Phillies Neither of these teams is playing well, really, in my opinion. What's the D-backs tonight are live? What are they up to at the moment? They've just hit the front against the Giants again, low scoring. They've scored two runs in the top of the ninth, but only six hits all night so far. So both teams scuffling along a little bit. However, to break the tie here, the Diamondbacks have scored 50 more runs than the Cardinals. The Cardinals, by the way, are still bottom of the division. I should have put a counter up consecutive days at the Cardinals are bottom of the division, because 16-1 was my play here. And the Cardinals, for example, tonight, Sonny Gray was brilliant. Sonny Gray struck out 12 at the last count. I think he stopped at 12. The score was nothing. St. Louis couldn't score a run. Four times in the first six innings, St. Louis got their lead-off man on base, and they couldn't bring him round even a little bit. Even when you get to the sixth inning, and it's nothing. Then try to manufacture something, do something, and they can't get it. And they're still going to roll out Miles Mikolas every 50. They've still got a lot of dog shit. And when this falls apart, they're going to be further down. This is them playing at their peak, and they're still bottom of the division. They're only going to get worse, I promise you. The D-backs scored 50 more runs than them. So whatever happens tomorrow, the D-backs can score more runs than them. Give me the D-backs at -105, Lanty.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to lie. I wanted to make a case for the Cards, but their offense, I just can't trust it. I know Lynn has been, you know, surprisingly really good. I mean, he had one bad start in his four games. He shut down the Dodgers. He shut down Philly, two elite offenses. And I think, you know, the D-backs are an elite offense, but they've had moments where they couldn't get it going. And the way Lynn's been pitching, I mean, one earned run allowed in his last two starts. If he can just get some offense to help him, I mean, you know, they've been like horrible, like bottom five in slugging percentage, on base percentage, and average. If he has to get some guys to get on base to get him there, so that's why I'm kind of just leaning there and not a fool. Like if they perform, you know, better in the series against the Brewers, I mean, they only scored I think what like three runs total against the Brewers that whole series. So if I could see a little bit of, at least if they're hitting the ball, I would be on them. But I'm just going to lean to the Cards. I'll maybe take them first five instead of full game, because I think Lance Lynn has been pitching well. And the D-backs playing late game, a little bit of travel here. So I think they'll be able to maybe start out a little bit better. So I'll take Cardinals first five. But I want to take them full game, but I just can't trust that offense, man.
Courtney Backus has joined us in the chat, or it might be Patrick with an in-joke talking about the wallpaper steamer. If you need to know the story of the wallpaper steamer / adult toy, you need to get across to the Premier League Gambling Podcast. And Callum Schultz is pulling double duty tonight. He's on overtime. He was in the Premier League show with me an hour ago and is back. Oh, it is Patrick. Patrick, how are you doing? Loyalty card in the post for Callum. 8:40 Eastern first pitch, the San Diego Padres at the Colorado Rockies. Dylan Cease for the Padres. Left-handed pitcher, Austin Gomber for Colorado. -185 for the Padres, +155 for Colorado with a total of 10. I've got a bet that I love here, Lonte, so I want to hear your thoughts first, to see if you agree with me.
Yeah, I think it's a get right spot for San Diego in their offense. I like the first five. I love a lot of Dylan Cease props. I mean, Cease has been great. He has been like the best pitcher on the roster by far. Two earned runs or less in all of his starts. He's going well into the game. Six innings pitched in all of his last three. He's striking guys out. 7+ Ks in three straight. He did have 5 walks in his last start, so I kind of want to see him get down on that, but he's only allowed more than 2 hits once in his 4 starts, Mal. So he's not even allowing a lot of contact at all. And we know Colorado's offense is really bad. I mean, they got the win today, 2-1, but they didn't score those 2 runs until like the 10th inning, I think, if I'm not mistaken. 30th in hits and runs allowed, 30th overall in ERA and Ks per 9. And while Gomber's been okay, he still has a 4.95 ERA, a lot of home run in 3 of his 4 starts. So I think it's a get right spot for San Diego and that offense. So I'll be on a lot of Dylan Cease props, and I'll be on the San Diego first five and the team total over.
Okay. The pick I liked here was just the under. And I liked the under before I saw the Rockies win 2-1 tonight as well. It just hasn't really exploded. They're Dylan Cease is fine. He started one game in Coors Field last year. Was a little bit dodgy, but I don't mind him. Austin Gomber has been good at home. And this is the kind of spot that I just don't want anything to do with the Padres at all. They're the Blue Jays. Them and the Blue Jays are in this just these two teams that I just do not trust. And Colorado, so I thought about taking Colorado as a dog plus 155, but they're not winning enough at home. We occasionally like taking Colorado in a spot or two, but not here. So I do think both pitchers will go okay. And I knew the total would be inflated. I made these notes before I saw it. 10's plenty high enough. I don't think we'll see a 2-1 game, but I think 10's too high. So I'm happily taking the under in the Padres at the Rockies.
Yeah, Rockies have been playing unders. I think they're under in like 7 of the last 11 or something like that. So
yeah, it just seems to be every time. Yeah. Again, one of those teams, especially these two teams, like East Coast or Central Time teams, where I check the scores in the morning. So I'm not as on top of it as when I see the earlier games. But just something in my head just says, oh, yeah, they're going along low-scoring games. And, yeah, you numbers like you give me, Lonnie, absolutely back that up. The penultimate game here is a 9:38 Eastern first pitch between the Baltimore Orioles and the LA Angels. We have Albert Suarez for Baltimore. We have Reed Detmers that going for the LA Angels. It's plus 105 for the Orioles, minus 125 for the Angels, with a total here of 8.5. I must say, a little bit like Jonathan Cannon, Albert Suarez isn't a pitcher that I'm hugely familiar with. Pitched at Minnesota on his first start, his only start, went 5 2/3 scoreless in a game that Baltimore won 4-2. Again, we have just slated the Minnesota offense, so we don't know too much about that. Detmers has been great, absolutely brilliant for the Angels, absolute high point for them. He's allowed no more than one earned run in any of his starts, and the Angels have won all four of them. I'm going to put a little bit of regression in here for Suarez, but I think Detmers can go the same again. The Angels have been feisty. I'm going to take the Angels here at minus 125 behind another good start for Reed Detmers, Lunte.
Yeah, well, I handicapped Grayson Rodriguez, so I'm all off here. I saw him listed earlier. I don't know if they scratched him or what, but I'm still going to go with Baltimore here. I think they've had success against the Angels. Last month, they outscored them 25-11 in the series. They're 7-3 of the last 10. The Halos are struggling a little bit. They lost 7 of the last 10. They've been underwhelming at home, 2-4 at home. This weekend, one run or less in 3 of the last 4 games. So Detmers, I think, he's going to have a little bit of regression. I mean, one earned run or less in all 4 of his starts, including one earned run versus Baltimore on opening day. 7-plus Ks in 3 of his 4 starts. So I think he's due for a little bit of regression, especially against a good offense like Baltimore. So I think they'll be able to get. I think they'll be able to get to him early and often. So I'm going to take Baltimore in the first 5. And one of my best plays, Mal, I think Jackson Holliday has a big day tomorrow. I think he has He's back in the lineup. I mean, they switched him. He wasn't in lineup against Reagan's because he was a lefty, so they didn't want to play him against him. But he started on the next game. I think he's going to have a 1 or 2 hit game tomorrow. So I think Jackson Holliday is live to have a good game tomorrow against the Halos.
Lonte calls the Jackson Holliday breakout game. Nice,
yes,
Lonte.
Sir.
Final game tomorrow night, 9:45 Eastern first pitch, New York Mets at the San Francisco Giants. Left-handed pitcher Jose Quintana for the Mets, and it will be Keaton Wynn who has the ball for San Francisco. I see no lines for this at all. Guessing because the Giants, well, both teams were in action. As we started this, the Mets got thrashed 10-0 off the Dodgers, which didn't help my handicap because I was quite into the Mets. And the Diamondbacks are hanging on to a tight lead in San Francisco here. Quintana for the Mets is 1-1, 3.05 ERA. He's had 4 starts, have all been fine. No problems with him at all. Short starts. Rubric Ocean was in the chat earlier on, backing up the stats that Scott gave us that we have mentioned a few times on the show about the Mets starting pitchers out. I tell you what caught my eye the other day. I don't know if it was yesterday. It might have been yesterday, yeah. The Mets threw Edwin Diaz in the sixth inning. Bases loaded situation. And I'm here for that. Why not? It still baffles me why pitchers have to go in a certain order in your game. Like, just if they can all, if the pitchers, the pitchers, they don't know what order they're going in. Makes no sense. Just throw them when they're going to throw them. And they put Diaz in, and it worked. So the Mets are doing good things. Another series win against Los Angeles. They won a couple of games at big prices. Did get turned over tonight. Quintana's not overpowering, but he's faced decent opposition. And the Mets have won three of his four starts. Keaton Wynn, 1-3 with a 4.09 ERA. Seems to be settling down. His last three games have all been incredibly low scoring. 4-3-4 total runs. So I think low scoring in a big park. We can see it tonight with the Diamondbacks at the Giants. The Mets are in good form. They've had won six in a row before tonight, and 8-2 of the last 10. The Giants are bang average, but two decent pitchers, big ballpark. I like an under. I like a first five under. And without singing the lines, if you force me to take a side, I would come down on the side of the New York Mets, Lunty.
Yeah, I'm glad you had a lot for this because I got nothing. Even with lines, well, these are two teams that I can't get right. The Mets lost me a lot of money. I was on them like early on when they were in a slump, and then I was against them like in the past few nights against the Dodgers. And they impressed me against the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers rallied a couple of times in those games, and it's like the Mets like answered every time. So I was impressed with them. But again, I don't know what to do with either team. Like, I was on the Giants today against the Snakes, and they're getting smoked right now, or the game might be over. I thought it was like 5-2. So I don't know what to do with either of these teams, Mal. Easy pass for me.
Okay. Pass for Lonte, the lesser seen pass. 11 games in the book, Lonte, nice and tidy. Do you have a lock and a dog for us? Would you like me to lead off, or are you ready to go?
No, I'm ready to go, man. I got both. So I got my lock. It's going to be the Tampa Bay Rays, something we both like, the underdog at home. I don't think they should be a dog. I think they should be probably like -120. I mean, Littell, he's allowed contact, but he hasn't allowed a lot of runs. And with the offense of Detroit not being that good, I think that he can limit them. I think we see a low-scoring game, 3-1, maybe a 4-1 type of game. So I like the Tampa Bay Rays to get it done at home. They've won six out of the last 10. I like Scooble. I really do. But this is probably the best offense he's faced, and it's on the road. So give me the Tampa Bay Rays. I think their offense can kind of get out of a funk and score some runs. So I'll give them three or four runs here and maybe one or two runs for the Tigers. So give me the Tampa Bay Rays as my lock. For the dog, so I'm going to go with the I wanted to go with Baltimore. So I'll give you two. So I like Baltimore. I think they come out. I think they have a good series here against the Angels. Angels return at home. They lost seven in their last 10. They struggle at home. The offense has been really struggling. Just one run or less in three of the last four. Baltimore, really good on the road. I think their recent success against the Halos will get them over the hump. And like I said, I expect that lineup to have a big, big night against Detmers, who's looking to regress. So that'll be my dog. But, Mal, I got a little parlay for you. I'm going Minnesota parlay with the under. That pays 181, plus 181.
Okay. My luck, I'm going to go with that total in the Padres-Rockies game. I just don't see it getting to 10. I don't trust anybody in this situation. But like, apart from maybe Austin Gomber, I think he's been all right. So under 10 there. And for my dog, just having a little look around, I've got too many. I might have to take you on here with the White Sox. What am I doing, honestly? With the White Sox first five. Against Minnesota and Paddock. It's the Paddock thing. I'm sick of him. I said last week, I don't know if it was with you or whoever, Scott maybe, that because Paddock has starting pitcher and relief pitcher eligibility in fantasy, I sneaked him in to a couple of relief pitching spots. obviously, and he starts. But so I've had a closer eye on him, and he just keeps letting me down. And I don't think he can get away with it. So we could both still win here because the White Sox might get a nice 2-1 lead through five, and then the Twins can come back and win. So we can both win. But yeah, I'll take the White Sox first five behind Jonathan Cannon, who went okay last time, is my dog. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that's it. Everybody done, Lonte? Anything else you need to tell the people before we let them go?
Nah, man. Good luck to everybody tomorrow. Appreciate everybody joining the chat as well. So, yeah, hopefully we can get back on the right side. I think we've been having some good shows on Sundays for our Monday games, if I'm not mistaken. So hopefully we can keep that going. I like the card a lot for tomorrow. And I like the matchups this week. We've seen once the, you know, the pitching rotations are set for the rest of the teams, I think we're in for some good series.
Excellent. Hope your positivity rubs off on me a little bit, Lonnie. Yeah. Thanks very much. Thanks, everyone in the chat. We'll be back tomorrow. I am doing the show tomorrow with somebody. I don't know who. So looking forward to that. Hopefully, we've got a couple of winners to talk about. And until then, we will see you down the road. Cheers.